Scott Hamilton has joined us here on Sports Byline USA. We've been talking about his figure skating career and his philosophy in life. And Scott, when you're standing on that stand, having won a medal or a first place award, what thoughts do you have as they're playing the national anthem?
You know, I get asked the question of what it's like to win a gold medal, and the only answer I can tell you is that it's every single emotion that a human being can feel happens in those minutes where you're on that podium and you're accepting your gold medal, because, you know, it's a feeling of great triumph and victory because you know this is something you've trained for. You know, you're proud that you're doing this for your country and that you're representing your country in a unique way that just, it just is wonderful, a thing to share. And then on the other flip side of it, you're looking, you know, at this medal and you're thinking, now what? Everything I've ever done has led to this moment. Who am I? And there's a sadness that it's over, that all the training, all the planning, all the fantasizing is over. And then on the other side, you're thinking, well, who went into this? You know, how many people participated in this and where are they now? You know, I've had so much personal loss in my life that I think about my mother who should have been there. I think about, you know, Frank McLaren was a sponsor, who was like a parent to me, passed away in 79. I keep thinking about all the people that made it happen that I couldn't share it with. And I was grief-stricken. And then okay, now who am I? What am I supposed to do? I've never won an Olympic gold medal before. How am I supposed to behave? You know, and all of a sudden the rules kind of just shift on, and your whole world has changed. And it's so bizarre, and it's very amazing. And it's every emotion. You don't trade a second of it, but at the same time, it's almost indescribable because when someone's watching a medal ceremony and they get a lump in their throat, you know, that is a huge part of what that athlete is feeling. So you're sharing that emotion with them. It's hard to describe what it is. It's just pride and just knowing that so much went into that moment and just feeling it for the athlete and the athletes feeling it themselves. But all the other things that just sort of hit me, you know, from every direction was something I didn't expect. And it was extraordinary.
Joe Morgan, the Baseball Hall of Famer, is a friend of mine, and we were talking one night, and I asked him about retirement, because not every athlete makes that transition into retirement easily or successfully. And he said, Ron, the thing I thought about when it came to retirement was I started retiring the first day I started playing. And I'm just wondering, did you approach it because you were always a businessman and had other things out there as well along the way when you were skating competitively?
Well, I was always waiting. You know, I was always a rainy day guy. Okay, I'm not going to spend any money. I'm just going to save it all. I'm going to invest it all. I'm going to put it away. I'm going to live very, you know, modestly. I'm going to try to work every week. I got to have a check on that. I was just sort of, if I'm going to be professional, then I'm going to go all out. And most of the jobs that I had as a professional, you know, some were contract jobs like Ice Capades, but a lot of them were appearances here, doing this, doing exhibitions for skating clubs. You know, just it was a very, you know, it wasn't just what a normal professional athlete's contract would be, and that's just here. Here's your 16-game schedule for the regular season and your exhibition. That's where you have to be, and here's your training camp. For me, it was like, okay, it's August. Where am I working? Okay, I can get a couple shows in Sun Valley. Perfect. Okay, now it's like I was always filling in the calendar because I thought it was going to end quickly, and then I started doing broadcasting because I felt, well, I need to transition into that, and hopefully I'll have a place because Dick Button is so huge that I'm never going to supplant him. But, you know, I got to create my own place in commentary world because I like doing it. I thought I'd be pretty good at it, and I thought this is something that I could do for the rest of my life. But what I didn't know is that half the time I'm doing commentary for CBS on a pro competition, I could have been doing a lot better financially had I been in the competition instead of talking about it. So, you know, there's always that kind of, where's it coming from? What's it going to be? I got to go. And I'm glad that I kind of went after it the way I did for as long as I did, because now I can spend a little bit more time at home with my family.
before I kick you loose here, I want to switch gears once again and talk to you a little bit about your philanthropy. Important to you has always been giving back, and I know you were doing stuff with Target, and you've done some stuff with other organizations. Tell me a little bit about what you are doing in that area.
Well, I mean, my first real sense of knowing that I could participate in hopefully making a difference in the world was, channeling my grief when I lost my mother to cancer in 1977. The very next year, we put together a huge cancer benefit ice show in Bowling Green at the university there, and I brought in all my friends from the world, you know, championships, all the national champions, and they all showed up in Bowling Green for a show that we did every other year for years to raise money for cancer research. And then my first show as a professional was a benefit show. I decided I didn't want to turn pro by making money. I wanted to turn pro by losing my amateur status by not being sanctioned to perform in a big show. So I did it that way. It was kind of a weird thing. I guess I was protecting my purity. But that was another cancer benefit that also benefited the Denver Symphony Orchestra. And then from then on, I realized that it was something that, you know, it just brought me great joy to know that I was able to participate in others' lives. And we were a huge fundraiser for the Make-A-Wish Foundation through Discover Card and Stars and Ice. And then the next sponsor that came in was Target. And they were phenomenal where we were able to build Target House at St. Jude Children's Research Hospital. And I fell in love with St. Jude, and I go there all the time still. We build a couple rooms in Target House where the families can spend time. And Tony Thomas, the son of Danny Thomas, really honestly introduced me to my wife. So, I mean, I've got a real big place in my heart for St. Jude Children's Research Hospital. My second son's middle name is Thomas, after the Thomas family. So I built the CARES initiative at the Cleveland Clinic Tossing Cancer Center, where we've raised millions and millions of dollars for cancer research, education, survivorship programs. Chemocare.com is a website that we've created in English and Spanish that describes the chemotherapy experience and everything you need about the drugs, how they're administered, how they work, how to, you know, navigate the side effects. Chemocare.com is a huge accomplishment that we've been able to create. And, you know, I love participating where I can, when I can, how I can, being available, you know, to do different things. And cancer is a huge event in my life. Brain tumor, you know, twice has been a huge event in my life. And so whatever I can do to, make that world a little bit better for the next person that has to endure it, I'm all in.
Usually when somebody is as open and as willing to help others as you always have been, Scott, it's hard for them to say no. And so, therefore, is it hard for you to say no when people approach you about various things?
Well, you know, you can't be everywhere. You know, I mean, it's really, there are some that are, you know, slam dunks, you know, like figure skating in Harlem. Sharon Cohen built this program for girls in Harlem that, you know, if they did well in school, they had, you know, they had a good attendance record, they stayed out of trouble, they get free figure skating, and they served hundreds and hundreds of girls. That's something like, you know, bam, I'm in for that. There's other things that, you know, it's I'll support my friends who are into, you know, animal rights or, you know, different other charities, different other illnesses, whatever it is with medical research or children's surgery. I'll be there to help, but I don't have the same commitment or energy as I do for the cancer community.
We got about 90 seconds left. When you think back over your life, is there a particular moment that's kind of seared into your mind and memory, Scott, that if you reflected on it, Rob, you'll never, ever be able to forget?
You know, honestly, when you were talking about that, I was thinking, well, there's so many, but the one that just flew into my head was being an adopted child, witnessing the birth of my child, my first son. You know, it's the first time I've seen flesh in my own flesh. And, you know, and it was a very powerful kind of, you know, whoa, this is the first time I've seen someone of my DNA ever. And it was extraordinary. You know, I mean, those are things that you think about, but until they happen, you don't really know how they're going to affect you. And that one rocked my world. You know, I told Tracy last time that the brain tumor came around, and I was feeling a little bit, you know, maybe not so optimistic that, you know, God doesn't owe me a day. You know, I've been so blessed in my life beyond, you know, anything. And I look at, and I said this to you before in this interview, that I never would have thought to ask for any of the stuff that's happened to me. I've been blessed beyond my wildest dreams. I've been knocked down a few times. So be it. We all get knocked down.
Scott, I want to thank you very much. I always enjoy our conversations, but I even enjoy our friendship more. It's been a long one, and it always will be. Thank you, my friend.
Give my love to Judy and the girls, and I can't wait to get out there and have a little dinner or lunch at the North Beach Cafe. That'll be a blast.
You got it. Take care, Scott.
All right. Thanks, Ron.
Scott Hamilton, national and also world figure skating champion, Olympic gold medalist as well. We continue with more of you and America's Sports Talk Show.